Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition. And I think this is going to be a strange edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you are with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Now, why would I ever say this is going to be a strange program today? Well, if you look at the guest lineup, you will see one Charles Ruffalo is a guest today. And anybody who knows Charlie knows that you can ETU, expect the unexpected. How are you, Charles? Happy birthday.
I'm
on
good.
35.
Listen, I got to run to the bathroom real quick. I'll be right back. Is that right? No, just kidding. I'm well, Manning. Thank you so much for allowing me to be your guest today.
Well, we had to work you in, but it was okay. It was okay to get you here. So this, in all seriousness, for a business to last 35 years, particularly after what we've been through here the last year or so, you know, kudos to you, pal.
Thanks. It's been a fun ride. Definitely a roller coaster. Before we get into anything, can I say hello to two of my dearest friends out on the left coast?
On the left coast? Why are they on the left coast if they're dear friends of yours?
They like the distance from me.
Why don't they?
Anyway, I'd like to say hello to JJ and Jen down there in Oregon City, and then my girl Melissa over in Malibu Canyon. Hello, folks, and I hope you're listening in, and I miss you guys, and we need to get together.
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to think the last time I got to meet or see JJ.
I think she was here for my 50th birthday. I think JJ's come to visit us three times.
All right.
And it's been a while. I went and surprised her on her birthday last year.
Yeah, I know you did.
Went out there. Anyway.
That's a story in itself.
Oh, it truly is. Not for the radio.
So speaking of stories, I think it's worth a few minutes to talk about how this whole Substation 2 thing got started.
Okay.
Why Substation 2? Why not Substation?
Oh, I hate that. I hate that question.
Okay.
My brothers and I, we had a restaurant in New Jersey called the Colt's Neck Inn from the early 60s to early 70s. At that time, we wanted to sell the restaurant, and my sister was, her husband was stationed in Shore Air Force Base in Sumter, South Carolina. Getting out of the restaurant business, she said, hey, look, there's no sub shops in the Southeast. Why don't you guys come down here and open up a sub shop? Well, I was in school at Jacksonville University. My other two brothers said, all right, we'll give it a shot. So they came down to Sumter. My sister's in real estate. She had a building we rented. And we put a sub shop in there. I joined them about a month after they opened in April of 1975. And we started making sandwiches. It was hilarious. The first day, we didn't know what to expect. We ordered like 30 loaves of bread. Sold out in like 20 minutes. It was nuts. Next day, we ordered twice. And it was nuts. I mean, we'd leave there with lettuce hanging from our hair. I mean, it was a riot. And then a local person saw how we were doing and then said, well, teach me how to do it. All right. So we never thought about franchising. We were just looking for a little way to make some money to live. And it took off from there. The store that he bought is still open. The number one franchise is still open now from 1975 to now. How many years that is? 46 years. The second franchise we opened was in Charleston, South Carolina. It's still open. The third franchise was in Columbia, South Carolina. It's still open. So we it just took off in there. And believe me, we were making it up as we went along. We know how to run a restaurant, but we didn't know how to run a franchise.
But the restaurant you had in Colt's Neck was not a sub shop.
Oh, heck no. It was very fine dining. Tuxedo waiters.
Why didn't you just recreate that down at Sumter? Didn't want to do it anymore?
Well, Sumter didn't need a fine dining restaurant. Okay. Sumter needs hot dogs and sub sandwiches, you know. I'm sorry, Sumter. but no, no, we were looking for a simpler thing, a simpler product to put out.
And, had you ever done subs before?
No. I mean, we didn't even make sandwiches in that restaurant, you know.
See, we're just riding on the Italian name. Mm-hmm. And the two and two came together and said, Italians can make Italian subs.
Well, my sister, her husband was in the Air Force. And he would fly all over the country. But whenever he went to the Northeast, he'd bring back bags and bags of sub sandwiches to the other guys on the base that were from the Northeast. So my sister said, well, why don't you just come here and open up a sub shop? Okay, let's do it. And We did, and it's quite an amazing.
So now, how many years ago was this?
April 1975.
April 75. Mm-hmm. And then you worked with corporate for a long time.
I did. I worked with corporate from 75 to 1981. Where I was director of operations. I would travel over all over the southeast where we were at the time, training new stores, training the owners, and then I'd go back and visit them and make sure the procedures were where we wanted them to be.
Right.
Well, I got tired of that, so in 1981, the Shelby North Carolina franchise came up for sale.
Right.
It was number one in the chain. I jumped on it. Unfortunately, Shelby and I weren't on the same wavelength. Sorry, Shelby. So I made it there 3 years. Kept the store at number one in the chain. But in 84, I said, you know what? I'm coming back to corporate. Shelby just wasn't my kind of town, and I apologize. So from 84, I went back to corporate. And I'm like, no, corporate's not mine. I'm not a jacket and tie guy. I'm not a Monday to Friday guy. I was like, no, I don't want to work for corporate. How about... let's look around. Well, Rock Hill, South Carolina came open as an available location.
Had you ever been to Rock Hill before?
No. Well, I drove through it cussing because I lived in Shelby to get to Sumter. The roads, you couldn't get there from here, and you had to go through Rock Hill, and it was always like 25 miles an hour going through downtown. Then they put the roof over the mall. You had to go around that. So that's my only exposure to Rock Hill. So I came up here and took a look, hard look at the town. Right across from Winthrop University, looked at the town, and I said, yeah, this may work. I had no clue how well it was going to work.
And this location just happened to be available?
Yes. Yes, it was vacant. It was the building was here. It most recently before this it was a car lot. But it was vacant. Before that it was a convenience store. And before that it was Pasquale's Pizza. Some of you old timers here in Rock Hill may remember Pasquale's Pizza. I heard it had good pizza, but you just couldn't get it. You know, those rumors that I've heard, you know, and I'm not going to repeat them. I might open myself up. If, you know, somebody like Jadeveon Clowney's agent, the cook, bus cook, he might want to sue me for that.
All right. So you bought the place.
Yes.
All right. Was it tough to convert it into what it is now?
No, not really. It was basically just a shell because it was a car dealership, so I didn't have much.
Okay.
It still had some of the equipment from Pasquale's. It had the freezer and back from Pasquale's. There was... really minor renovations. I don't think I spent 30, 40 grand on remodeling. This was 1986. At one point, this was a convenience store,
So
it had the big beer cooler.
Ah.
My cooler is 250 square feet. Nobody has a 250 square foot cooler in a restaurant business. Most of them are 10 by 10, 15 by 15.
Was the freezer here?
The freezer was here. Freezer's 10 by 10.
Okay.
But the cooler is...
Oh, it's a walk-in cooler.
It's 250 square
feet. Ask Scott Oliver, he'll tell you.
Yeah. Dr. Oliver comes here after a hard bike ride and begs me to stand in my cooler for 5 minutes to cool off.
That's what, true story.
Yeah,
true story.
We only tell the truth here.
That's it.
Anyway.
Look who's over here. Somebody came to say hello to you, Charlie.
Hey.
Look, here he comes.
Hey.
Right here.
What is up, girl?
Steve. I told you it'd be great. We're having a little interruption here on the show. It's a live show. It's okay.
Yeah.
How are you? Good to see you.
Well, somebody that comes in, the heck with the radio.
Yeah, heck with the radio.
More important.
Love the braids. They look good, right?
Yeah.
All right. So this the actual date. I told you. The 35th date was today, yesterday?
Yesterday. June 6, 1986 was my opening day.
June 6, 1986.
Right, but since we're closed... Obviously,
you know, June 6th. You know what the significance of June 6th is.
Absolutely. D-Day.
D-Day. Exactly,
yes.
Right.
And that was, I thought long and hard about opening on D-Day to steal its thunder. D-Day has historically has lasted longer than I have not overshadowed D-Day. So that was a good thing.
So in your wildest imagination, I know what the answer to this is. Did you ever think that Rock Hill would grow into what it is today?
No.
35 years ago.
No. When I came here, the same thing as when we went to Sumter. I was just looking to eke out a living, you know, maybe open up a second store and just plug along. I had no idea the city, because when I came here at the time, they had the mall was still covered downtown.
Yeah, that's right.
All downtowns were dying economically back in 86. It wasn't just Rock Hill. Downtowns were being pushed out to the malls. My location is kind of odd. I picked it because of the university, but there's no shopping here to this day, really, there's no shopping here. So come Christmas and big holidays like that, I don't get the traffic that you do at the Wells. Anyway, it was pretty dingy downtown. After a while, they took off, as you know, they took off the roof off the mall.
Imploded the five-story building at the end of Main Street.
Right, right. Yeah. And the city leadership that we have shown from, really, Ikey Albright on through
Betty Jo Ray. Joe Lanford.
Joe Lanford, Doug Eccles. My gosh, the mayors we've had, and of course now, right now we have John Geddes. The foresight that they and the thought they put into growing our town has been amazing. Hello. We, what is it, $2.5 billion in construction is now coming into town. We have the Panthers headquarters going to be here. The city leadership we have, they think things through long and hard, and they get it done. Even something as simple as the COVID shot clinic that we did recently.
Right.
They put it together in 8 days from the concept of we need a clinic to give shots. In 8 days, they put it together and put in the first shots in arms. What other city in America moved that fast and that efficiently? This town has it going on. I am so stoked. After all these years, I'm probably the most excited I am now about the town than I ever have been here.
Well, we've been here long enough together to witness this evolution of Rock Hill. I have joked that the common denominator for what is happening here is two things. Number one, we've been blessed with good political leadership, good, stable political leadership that had the foresight to invest the money in the staff that can pull all this off day after day after day after day. And second thing is a community that rolls its sleeves up, gets involved with everything under the sun to make this stuff happen. And the only reason I can think that that happens is because we all drink water out of the Catawba River.
Must be it.
It's got to be it.
Must be it. Yeah, it's amazing, this town. When you call for volunteers in this town, you get 400 people showing up. It's just amazing how this town pulls together for causes.
Then we see something, a miraculous transformation of downtown when Fountain Park came into existence. My goodness.
What a stroke of genius.
Well, you know the backstory to that. Let me tell you the backstory. The RHEDC was trying to make something happen downtown, and there was an idea that came forward for that big parking lot. And quite frankly, the RHEDC wasn't totally sold, but we wanted to make something happen, right? So we circulated the idea, and the idea comes back with mixed reviews. One of the mixed reviews was from Comporium. And Comporium said, you know what? I think we can do better than this. We didn't know what they had up their sleeve. They didn't know what they had up their sleeve. About a year or so went on, and they said, you know what? What about this park concept? We will donate the fountain. That was $1 million gift,
right.
$1 million gift. The city had the tax increment district together, so they could take the funds from the tax increment district and build the rest of the park,
right.
And the rest is history.
That's to say, just the foresight that we have in this community, you know, with leadership like Comporium, like Williams and Fudge. It's just amazing the things we can get done.
Okay, so in 35 years, you know, I always remember my brother. He had this toast for me at my at my rehearsal dinner when I got married 47 years ago. I've seen them come and I've seen them go. So I think about that when I think about all the different people that you've had who have worked in this place.
You know, it's funny. We have had employees here that have met each other, ended up in going on and getting married and starting families. And their kids come back and work for me. At one point, I had three generations. I had a grandma, mom, and the daughter all working here from one family. I've seen them come in. I'm serving third and fourth generations from when I got here. I've seen little kids come in arms that are now coming in with their kids. They've grown up and eating my subs. I'll never forget this one little fella. He worked here for a very short time. He would come in up. He couldn't barely see over the counter, but he got a meatball sub. And just had his great smile. And he was a customer for decades. Went away, went to school, came back, and he got a job here for a while. But stuff like that is,
you know, just... One of the funniest stories that I remember, God rest his soul, good old Jack Clinton. When what's coming?
The No Meat of Pita.
The No Meat of Pita. Now tell them about the No Meat of Pita.
The Clinton family, of Clinton Family Ford, wonderful family, great friends. At one point, they come in, Jack and the three boys,
right.
Tom, Jim, and what's the other guy's name?
Dan. Dan.
Sorry, Dan. They come in and ordered pita sandwiches, tuna pita sandwiches. And they wanted larges, so they got two pita breads each. Well, they're sitting there eating. They ate the first ones. And then they started in the second ones, and they call me over. and said, there's a problem here. We had forgotten to put tuna fish on all the sandwiches. So they were just eating a veggie sandwich. And it was so good, they didn't even notice until they finished, all of them finished the first one. It was a riot. Yeah. So we call it the No Meata Pita.
You know, the mayor just came because he said he wants one of your No Meata Pitas.
We can do it, John.
A No Meata Pita.
Yeah, just stories like that over the years. That was pretty funny. And Jack has passed, but I wish I had thought to bring a No Meata Pita to the gathering.
That would have been well received. Right. Sure, it would have been well received. Go ahead.
You were just fun stories. You want to talk about? Do we have to take a break? No, we don't have to take a break, do we?
We never have to take a break for you. No.
You just okay. Take it away. You're the MC.
I knew a new story. I said from the beginning this is not going to be my show. Right. Well, would you like to ask yourself a question? Go ahead.
No.
Come on, $5.
No, because I wouldn't be able to answer it.
You wouldn't be able to answer your question. All right. So I want you to try to think about the most unusual thing that happened here in the store over 35 years.
Good golly. There's so many. From a manager that he wanted to put metal in a microwave oven, and the employee says, you can't put metal in a microwave oven. And he goes, I'm the manager. I can do whatever I want. Put the metal in a microwave, blew up the microwave.
It blew up.
Blew up the microwave. We had the Jadavian Clowney sub. And
oh, yeah, the Jadavian Clowney sub. Yeah, this was fun.
My marquee probably has led to some interesting...
Well, tell them about the Jadavian Clowney sub. Marquee out there.
Right. Jadavian Clowney was... he's from our town, and he went to school at University of South Carolina.
Number one draft pick in the NFL.
He was number one draft pick in the NFL before the combine that year, before he was actually in the draft. He got caught speeding, doing 95 miles an hour on the interstate twice in a period of like 10 days. So on the marquee, I put, try the Jadavian Clowney sub, but it goes really fast. There you go. It was up there a couple of weeks and didn't really hear much about it. And then Andrew Keel at WRHI happened to put it out on the internet. 20 million mentions later. And what really blew it up was his agent, Buzz Cook, called me one afternoon and told me I had to change that sign. I was like, why? He says, well, you're making money off of my boy. I said, I'm sorry, I'm not making money off of it. There's no Jadavian Clowney sub. It's just a joke. Well, you need to get that off of there. And I said, you know, Mr. Cook, I hear you, but you have heard of something called free speech, right? And he laughs. He goes, yeah, I sure have. He said, I've also heard something called a court system, and I'll bet you my pockets are deeper than yours if we go that route. I said, okay, Mr. Cook, I got you. I'll tell you what, though. I'm not in town right now. I'm sitting right here at this table when I'm talking to him. I'm not in town right now, and I won't be back for a couple of days, so I can't change the marquee. I mean, I was doing TV interviews and radio interviews from this table saying, I'm not in town. So I left it up there. So I changed it to, good gosh, what did I have? He Who Must Not Be Named. Try the sub from He Who Must Not Be Named. And they, Bus Cook, he got off my train.
Now, you got to tell him a story about the Mel Gibson sub. Because right. This is even better.
Same thing. Same thing. Put on the marquee. Don't bother Mel while he eats here. He was in town for the filming of the Patriot movie. Yeah. And he was here for quite a while. So I asked people not to bother Mel while he ate here. Well, his publicist contacts me at one point. Same deal. You need to change that sign. I was like, why? Well, you just need to change it. You know. And I said, I'll tell you what. I'm going to be in town. I'm going to come by and talk to you. And explain to you why you need to change it. I said, okay, cool. So I called Manning, I called CN2, I called the Herald, the Observer, I called WSOC, I called every media outlet around, saying this guy wants to come in and talk. Well, bless the media, two-thirds of the store was media, was everybody within earshot was in here covering this. And this guy walks in here all blustery, and he's like, oh, hey, I need to talk to you. I said, yes. No, in private. I said, oh, no. We're going to talk to the media. If I've created a problem with Mr. Mel Gibson, I think the community needs to know what that problem is. And to his credit, that's like scallywag. He came and he sat down and turned on the charm. He says, well, what we'd like it to say is please do bother Bell while he eats her so people don't think he's stuck up. That is not the premise he was coming here to talk to me about. But he switched gears like that, and he was very pleasant and talked to, I think, you or at least the media for 20, 30 minutes.
Sure.
Smiles on his face. And
all right, with that, we're going to take our mail break.
Let's take our mid-program break here.
Thank you very much. Remind everybody that this program called Straight Talk is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, we're right here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. Stand up, Charlie, so everybody can see the marquee, right? All right, at the count of three, one, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Guard. Back up these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 41066.
If you're routinely on the internet, you know that more is better. The more connection speed you have, the bigger the difference in everything you do online. ZipStream from Comporium gives you access to up to 1,000 megabits per second and the ability to stream, search, download, and play online faster than you ever have before. When it comes to the internet, more is better. So visit Comporium.com and upgrade to ZipStream today.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Wow, have things changed over the last year? This is Charlie Ruffalo. We're thankful for all your support through this situation, but we've come to a crossroad. Starting immediately, we will close on Sundays. This will allow us time to perform necessary maintenance and deep cleaning and also give us time to prepare for the week to come, but we're still willing to do caterings for special events on Sundays. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause, but remember, we're still open Monday to Saturday. So come enjoy the best subs and salads in town. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. Charlie Ruffalo is with us today. This is his 35th anniversary of being in business. Congratulations, Charlie.
Thank you, Manny.
And we're hearing about all the fun stuff that's happened over the years.
Before I forget, let me say thank you to my crew, Kathy, Aaron, Scott, Dalton, and all the workers here. I couldn't do what I do and be in business as long if it wasn't for their dedication and awesomeness. I'm so thankful for the crew that I have. And I'm just lucky. It's not me. It's them.
And that crew, just like a lot of other crews, a lot of other places, have been through a lot this past year. A lot.
And I tell you, they pitched right in. They agreed with the mask. They suggested things to keep us safe and the customer safe. I mean, they put some skin in the game. It's awesome.
Well, and it's interesting to see. You know, there's some businesses that just didn't make it during the pandemic, and others who have thrived. And you're one of them.
Right.
I mean, you started on a downslide. But boom, you have come back.
We are very blessed that the community supports us like they do.
Wow.
So, on to fun stories.
Yeah, okay. Fun stories.
Two
fun
stories that come to mind. One morning, I'm sitting here at my desk, and a friend of mine who had a business down the street calls me and asked if so-and-so was working today for lunch.
Right.
I said, yes, why? She said, well, he just came in and applied for a job with me, but when he left, he took my purse with him.
He took your purse?
I said, what? She goes, I'm going to call the police. I said, you sure he took it? She says, absolutely. I said, okay, call the police. Sure enough, police come, look in the dumpster. There's her purse. They put that guy in handcuffs, take him right out. I said, please take him out the back door. No. They marched him right out the front door.
I was like, so okay. While we're on these funny stories, you want to tell the other dumpster story?
we have a dumpster story. I was doing a big remodel of the store, gutting the store, turned everything, but I left my cooler on. Because I had meat in there. For some reason, somehow, the power got cut off to my cooler. So everything went bad. Okay, no problem. Insurance covered it. So I placed another order, $5,000 worth of meat to come in. I told the manager on duty that morning, I said, Jill, everything marked with an X needs to get thrown out. And then, you know, so everything in the cooler. Well, for some reason, she didn't do that at that time. When she went in the cooler, the new order had been delivered. So she threw everything out. Another $5,000 worth of meat. Throws it out into the dumpster.
Here comes the best part.
I'm like, oh, holy crap. So, okay, what did I do? I jump in a dumpster with a thermometer, grabbing the boxes that aren't X'd, stick a thermometer. Oh, crap. I checked, I don't know how many meats, and I found a pepperoni that was 40 degrees still. I was like, okay, they were sealed in boxes or sealed in plastic. So I go, I found a pepperoni in this joyous, celebratory tone. And a customer was coming around the corner to see when we were going to open back up. I'm there handing a piece of pepperoni out of my dumpster saying, he never did come back in here after that. I've not seen him today. And this is 30 plus years later. I've never seen him again. Too funny. We ended up David Angel was my insurance agent. And I called him with the first $5,000. He's like, oh, okay, cool. And then I call him with the second one. He goes, you're kidding me. And he developed the saying ever since then, my friends, they're killing me. And that is strictly because of me and Manning and some of the things we've done.
But, oh, my. You know, one thing that you pulled out was very interesting. When you take a look at the prices, what's happened in 35 years?
They've barely gone up.
Well, when you think of the 35 years and what's happened to the value of the dollar, it's still a very good buy.
Oh, it definitely is. Our prices are very economically appropriate. But yeah, when we opened, a ham and cheese sandwich 6-inch was $2.30.
$2.30.
And what is it now?
Right now it's $6. That's ham, turkey, and cheese. $6.49.
Our number 19 for a large was $5 when I first opened this store.
$5.
Right.
Yeah, well, I ain't no $5 anymore. Where is the doggone thing?
Under specialty sandwiches.
Under specialty.
$10.79 is what it is now.
Okay.
So, yeah, but, in 35 years, I think that's pretty good holding the line.
Yeah, I think it is, too. Particularly when you take a look at this past year, when you've had everything. I mean,
I was lucky to get product. But, yeah
exactly.
We've seen everything go up. It's something as simple that you don't see as gloves. When February 2020, my box of 1,000 gloves was $20, $28. Mm-hmm. Come June, that same box of gloves was almost $150. Same gloves. Well, I raised Kane with my distributor, my contract, and they agreed, and they brought it in at $58 a box. So double. But since then, it's creeped back up, and now it's triple. It's $79 a box for the same thing I was paying $29 a box for. Very, very frustrating. And that's just one thing that is going to be reflected. Pay scale, when I opened, minimum wage was, I think, 3.25.
Right.
And and now minimum wage has not kept pace with inflation. We all know that.
Right.
But neither has our pay scale has not followed the federal recommendations.
We only got about 20 seconds left, Charlie. I want you to, what's your message to somebody starting in business in Rock Hill, South Carolina?
Don't. No.
Seriously. I mean, what is it?
If you're starting a business, go to the city and ask them to show you how to do it. Go to Winthrop University, the small business development, ask them to help you, and be part of the community. Give back to the community. This community has afforded me a wonderful living and lifestyle, and I give back as much as I can. Volunteer, be part of the community.
Happy birthday, Charlie. Congratulations on 35 years. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Of course, fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week.
Bye, JJ.
Here
at
Substation 2. Bye, West Coast crew. And there's a magical formula we do it. Charlie, what is it? 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.